Welcome to the Dream Job Hack Podcast, where I teach senior career professionals just how to leverage your expertise and personal brand, along with my recruiting industry insider experience that will help you land your dream job opportunity. My name is Lindsay Mustine, and I am your host.
Are now live. So welcome. I've got Casey Knight with me, and tonight we're going to be talking about personal branding and networking and the difference of the two. And the first thing that Casey would like to tell you is that he hated my title.
That's true. Like, and hate doesn't even really, I don't even think that's enough. I think I can't actually say the exact words that I said.
Well, he was not fond of it. So let's start by finding out why. So I brought up this topic because we've heard this like clash between personal branding and networking, and there's some pretty strong opinions around this, which we know Casey has. So why the beef?
Well, it's not beef. I think personal branding is a part of networking. You know, the whole point of personal branding, and I think that's where people get confused, and there are all these coaches and everything that talk about personal branding. But personal branding is just you being you. You know, the thing is, I think a lot of people think that LinkedIn has to be like stuffy and super professional, and they hide, you know, behind these like brochure-like descriptions of themselves and sort of try to come up with this like sort of corporate identity, when in reality, you know, LinkedIn is about making friends. Nobody wants to be friends with a brochure. You know, we have to be vulnerable. Not as vulnerable as some people are. I think some people may take a little bit far, but we have to be a little bit vulnerable, and we have to be human, and we have to be likable and approachable. And one of the hardest things about engaging with strangers is the fact that they're strangers. So personal branding enables us to create a sense of familiarity with people before they meet us. So, I mean, I think that's, so it's just a part of networking. I don't think it's a standalone thing.
So when Casey, of course, was up in arms about my title, which ironically, it's really supposed to be April Fool's, just kidding. It's really not, because they're the same thing. I agree. I like to describe that this is like an infinity loop, and both sides are equally important, and they're a part of each other, because your brand is what causes people to want to engage with you. It gives you leverage in your networking conversation. So Casey, kind of give me the idea between the person who is, what is it, do you call it the seeker, and the person who has it?
Okay.
Giver and taker, is that what it is?
Yeah, there are givers and takers. And I hate to say that because it kind of sounds mean, but like think about it like this. When you go to a networking event, there are two types of people there. People who are there for the free drinks and for the free food. Those are the people that can help people. And then there are the people who are there because they want help or need help. So those are the job seekers. Those are the people selling toner cartridges. Those are the people, vendors. So the problem is that we make judgments, you know, with very little information. So like, for instance, if I'm sitting here at my desk and I get a connection request and it's someone that's clearly not looking for work, I'm going to automatically assume that that person needs help because that's what we do. I mean, we sort of build walls around ourselves to protect ourselves. So, that is that person is sort of a seeker, and I'm a giver in that. At least that would be my perception of it. And that's sort of the problem, is that, you know, the people that can help you can help a lot of people. So, you know, if you're looking for a job and you found the HR director at Amazon, rest assured, you're not the only person that's sending them a connection request today, hoping to connect with them and hoping to somehow, get their help. So that's the thing. It's you have to rise above all the other noise, right? So, and that's the thing. I think one of the biggest misconceptions in networking is that, a lot of the time I'll get messages from people that will say something along the lines of, I hope that we can have a mutually beneficial relationship. And that never seems to be the case to the person that's receiving that message. Because if you're looking for a job, I'm going to assume you want me to help you find a job. You know, it's so I think the approach, we have to be very careful about how we approach people who are strangers. You know, I've said this a million times. Half the people in here have probably heard this so many times it makes them sick. But, you know, if someone wouldn't loan you $20, they're not going to tap their foot in the doorway of the human resources person and insist that they bring you in. You know, if the person isn't willing to pick you up at JFK at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, they're not going to fight for you. I mean, you need people that are going to fight for you. And that's not going to happen because you send a, you know, cut and paste connection request. It's not going to happen because, you know, this offer of imaginary value that you're throwing out there. You know, if the value that you present isn't clear to them before you send them the connection request, they're probably not going to see it after you do.
Love it. Okay, so let's talk about this triangle of value. I mean, everyone knows around here that I love triangles. So, of course, that's he's fine. Like, whatever. But I was like, he has an approach, believe it or not. So we've systemized it here so that where I'm calling it the C approach. So there are three ways to provide a value long before you should send a connection request is how Casey approaches it. And I think he's pretty damn good at it, honestly. There's no one, I think pretty much all of us will agree, that can engage people like he does. It's incredible. So let's talk about the first way, which is supportive.
Yeah. Well, so there's three ways. I mean, and this, you know, this goes for online and it also goes for real life. You know, we either support people, we educate people, or we entertain people. Those are the three ways of really forming bonds with strangers. And I, you know, they're kind of, you know, self-explanatory. I mean, I think the supporting people, what? Why are you laughing?
You're like, they're self-explanatory, but I'll tell you.
So go for it.
No, I'm saying you'll tell them anyhow.
No, I mean, so here's the deal. Like, you know, so I think everyone wants to rush into sending connection requests, which I think is a bad idea. I think it's, you know, you sort of, the best time to send a connection request is after you've engaged with someone two or three times and they're already feeling you. And then it's sort of like a, why are we not connected already? That's the best way to send a connection request. So how do you go about doing that? Well, there's the triangle, right? There's, you know, being supportive, being entertaining, or being educational. Being supportive is easy, right? Lindsay puts a post, she writes an article, you know, I go on, I say something along the lines of, hey, I really enjoyed reading your post. You know, I think the people in my network would really benefit from it. Would you be okay if I shared your post? That would actually be a really good connection request. Because I know you're not going to waste an in-mail, and I don't think anyone should send in-mails. I hate in-mails. So don't send them. Don't waste your money. You know, if you can't come up with an engaging, I'm sorry, maybe Lindsay disagrees with me. You disagree? No,
well, I think that we all have our own approaches. So the biggest thing to take away from this is that you have to provide value. And there's multiples of ways to do that. And I go with what, like, for me, what is natural, which is I like to tell people what I enjoy about them. That's how I interact with people just in life. So that's how I go about it. However, Casey, that is different. And it's not bad. It's not bad at all. In fact, I think he has more engagement many times. And you know, that says a lot about the people that, because even though he has a smaller network, what kind of people he's actually cultivating in his tribe, as someone called it earlier here. So that's what's amazing. So I want to know more. Okay, so we've got supportive.
We are supporting. So that's supporting. You know, that's don't like stuff, first of all, because nobody's going to remember the person that liked their post that got 400 other likes. I think so many people, it's like sort of the easy way to just, and you feel like you're being supportive, but it's not. If you're looking to get on someone's radar, liking their post isn't going to be the most effective way of doing that. Sharing their post is an amazing way, because my post might get 200 or 300 likes. It's probably going to get 5 shares. So if you want to stand out from the crowd, sharing is a really great way to do it. Also engaging in the comments and writing, hey, this is a great post. I'm probably not going to remember that if you get 300 of them. But if you're asking questions, then guess what? Now I'm stuck in a conversation with you. If you're saying something funny, entertaining, then all of a sudden we're having a conversation. So by communicating with people via their posts, you're able to actually have actual conversations with them before you would even consider sending them a connection request.
Okay, so we've got supportive and we have entertaining. And then there's the other one, which is educate, right?
Educating them, which you sort of have to be a little bit careful with that. You know, it's, that's one of the things where, you know, when you get the connection request and it says, how may I be of service to you? And you're like, I don't know, because I don't know you. You know, like, I don't know. Or, you know, I'm not saying that you should always have to agree with what someone is saying, but let's put it this way. If Lindsay's company is hiring and you want to work for that company, you're probably not going to benefit from, you know, arguing with her on her post, you know, by trying to educate her on what she's trying to, you know, putting a different perspective is fine, but you know, you want to be careful about the educating thing. And I think for me, the educational component really comes into play a lot more when we're talking about creating content. And I think there are some really good examples. Like, I think Sabina's actually a really good example of this, for the folks that know her in the group. And Lolita's actually another really, really, really good example, because they were posting stuff on in this group and sort of documenting their search and documenting sort of the trials and tribulations that they had. So they were like educating people while they were in the process themselves. And I think, you know, you don't have to be, everyone can learn something from everyone else, you know, so you don't necessarily have to be an HRD at a Fortune 500 company to share tips about job search or things that have worked for you. But I do think that the educational part really is best if it's your own content. What do you think?
No, I think, getting back to feedback, but let me just outline again. The approach here is supportive, also known as complimentary, educate, which is providing value, and then entertain, which I call notable. So I like C because that's what his stands for. And then the three ways to engage with people, kind of take in those mindsets, is that you can create content of your own, you can support someone else's content, or you can send a connection request. So that's three ways to kind of help start to build relationships with folks. Absolutely. So I think about the number of connection requests that I get a day, and it's like 2 to 3 out of every 100, because I have 20,000 of them pending right now. 2 to 3 out of every 100 actually bother to write a personalized connection request. So just doing that one thing will set you apart, as long as you use their name and actually talk about value. But I love Casey's approach of, I mean, that, honestly, that's how we got connected, right? Do you remember your connection request to me?
I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about that.
He said something along the
lines. I know your lawyers contacted my lawyer. I don't
know. About you would, it'd be awkward to not be friends now, because when I ask you to help me move my fridge when you're in the neighborhood or something.
Yeah, don't wait until you need me to become friends with me.
Yeah.
I think humor is really great. And look, everyone, you know, has a different sense of humor, and everybody, and going back to the personal branding, which is so much of what we're talking about here, you know, be you. Like, you should surround yourself with people who are going to like you, you know, and that's, you know, I forget who mentioned the tribe thing. Someone mentioned tribe.
Folks that I've talked about having.
But I mean, it is a tribe, and it sounds so corny, and like, I've embraced it finally. You know, but it really is like, you need to find like a band of people who are like you, or who compliment you, you know, and the best way to do that is be you, you know, like, I'm not the most polished guy. I know, like, my LinkedIn picture, I have a tie on and a clean shirt. But that's not really me. Like, I'm not that guy. You know, I'm a guy who, you know, I'm going to wear jeans pretty much everywhere I go, unless it's your wedding, or unless, like, you know, something like that, I'm probably just going to wear jeans. You know, but being yourself is going to get you a lot further than trying to become this, you know, someone that you're not.
I think it's very true. And somebody who's surrounding themselves with their tribe, Jara said, your vibe attracts your tribe. I don't know that I've ever heard that before. So that was amazing. I love that. That's exactly it. I think this is why like in LinkedIn Bootcamp, we have our group, right? We have our people here, which is why I'm like, it's okay. Like this is okay. This is a safe place for us to share. Tamiko's saying she's got a whole tribe of geeks and nerds, which is perfect because that's the kind of people she wants to surround herself with. So I think it's amazing as long as you really understand you have to have an approach and you need to be deliberate about this. When you're trying to really build your brand, you need to think about how, and really the question is, how do I serve others? What is it that they need to know? And it could be about me or my expertise, but what do they need to know that I can share, with the idea of not being about, here's how I toot my own horn or just to talk. You need to say, here's what you should know about whatever it is, and then share it.
And it's good for people to discover on their own the value that you, telling people what your value is, you know, it's, I think it cheapens it, you know, I think a lot of people do approach me with that. Like, I'd like to share value with you, or how could I be of value? The best way is just by being supportive, you know, being entertaining or educating people. And just when you're around them, it's the same thing with, you know, it's in a perfect world. They say you should network when you don't, before you need to network, right? If that's not the case, which is, you know, for many of the folks listening today, if you're looking for a job, maybe it's too, you know, a little bit too late to approach it from that theory because you need a job now, right? But you're going to be a lot better off if people don't sense that need when you first engage with them. You know, it's always better if people can discover on their own how they can help you. And once, you know, I think once you're a bit vulnerable or once, you know, people get to know you and get a feel for who you are, they will seek that out because that's human nature. You know, when we like people, we want to make their life easier. We want to try to help them. So I think the point of personal branding is to put yourself out there to the extent that people want to get to know you better. They want to be around you. And they will discover how they can help you. I had a client that I work with now who we hung out a bunch of times before I even told them what I do for a living. You know, and I think like the fourth or fifth time that we went out and had a meal together, she asked me, she's like, yeah, this is so awkward. I know that you're a fireman, but I know that you're a volunteer. What do you do for a living? And I said, I'm in step. What? Oh, we have a disappearance. Okay.
Never fools, I'm back.
Okay. So she said, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm in the staffing business. She said, I use like four or five staffing services. Oh, I see dogs. And she discovered how she could help me. You know, I didn't ask her. I wasn't like this guy, you know, nipping at her heels, trying to find ways that we could do business together. You know, instead I just concentrated on getting to know her and, you know, developing a relationship and a rapport, and, you know, everything kind of fell into place, you know.
Sorry, Distraction City here. Okay. Well, I think it's amazing. I'm going to call that good now. So for recording.
You what?
Thanks for listening. Want to know more about how I help professionals land their six-figure dream jobs without ever applying? Join me live on April 17th at 6 p.m. Pacific time for my free training on insider secrets and why your job search is destined to fail. Go to dreamjobhack.com/free-training.